meeting to order of the Customer Service and Planning Committee. Would you call the roll, please?
Chairman Schillerstrom?
Here.
Director Banks?
Here.
Director Johnson?
Here.
Director Sweeney? Chair, we have a quorum.
Very good. We will proceed to public comment. We have a period of time during each of our meetings for public comment. I would ask our public commentators to please try and keep their remarks to about 3 minutes. And we've previously asked people to fill out yellow cards who wish to speak. If there's anybody who has not had the opportunity to do this, I will give another call for public speakers at the end. Our first public speaker is Mr. Barry Burton from Lake County, and he would like to discuss Route 53. Mr. Burton.
Take it right here.
Yes, thank you.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for indulging me for just a minute. My name is Barry Burton. I'm the County Administrator for Lake County. In my role, I deal with transportation, economic development, and quality of life issues on a daily basis. Route 53 is so important to Lake County in addressing this once and for all on the issues surrounding it. I'm here to ask for your consideration to complete an environmental impact statement for Route 53 in conformance with the BRAC standards. In Lake County, we know that doing nothing in Western Lake County is not an option. We either have to make substantial improvements to our existing transportation infrastructure, or we need to build Route 53. If this doesn't go forward, significant investment will need to be made on existing roads. Those would come without the environmental standards that are recommended in the BRAC. It would also have a significant impact to communities. One of the things that we're not hearing is many of these roads are state roads that go right through the middle of downtowns. Those businesses are built to the right-of-way. So it's not just a matter of riding existing roads. There's significant impact to communities, bypasses, and other things that would need to occur to move the traffic that currently congests Lake County. We're working on details to show this impact. We hope to release that soon. I think we'll better frame this and the options that we have on a bigger regional transportation issue as that report is completed. Never before have we seen the consensus that we enjoy right now with building Route 53, or at least looking at the environmental impact statement. The Blue Ribbon Panel, the BRAC, balances development, protects the environments, and our community leaders come together and agreed on a set of financing options, innovative ways of financing this road. Soon, the Land Use Committee is expected to sign off on a broad series of land use strategies for the entire corridor that really helps provide a balance between environmental stewardship, opportunities for economic development, and most significantly, congestion relief. Studies show that going forward, that our county is going to grow over 30% over the next 20 years by 2040. This plan represents a unique opportunity to realize smart growth and incorporate those principles that balances land use, environmental stewardship, as opposed to poorly planned developments that we've seen in the past. In 1990, Lake County was 516,000. Today, we're 703,000. A significant amount of that growth has occurred in Western Lake County. That's the reason CMAP ranked this as the number one congestion mitigation project in the entire region. As you heard about last month, Lake County Partners, our economic development agencies, released a preliminary study that looked at the total economic impact from this road. $17 to $19 billion in economic impact and 25 to 30,000 jobs. As opposed to right now, we've seen the growth occur, but it only occurs in residential. So we have no balance in our land use, and that also really drives property taxes because there's no diversity in our property tax base. Last month, our Lake County Board Chairman also signed a letter with 40 other mayors showing consensus for this project. That signing represents 88% of Lake County's population of those communities. So we're simply asking that the Tollway Board move forward with the environmental impact statement that will produce the details needed to advance the project. We know communities have concerns. Those concerns have been raised. We have many of those same concerns. But rather than looking the other way, we ask that we look at the impact study, see what alternatives we have to where once and for all we can decide a responsible way of moving forward. So we ask that you consider the Phase 1 environmental impact study. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Next, we have Mr. Jason Glass, and he would like to discuss our website and our mobile site. Mr. Glass. I guess I should point out, and I was probably negligent in not doing it before, we are on the air, and this is being recorded, so go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry. There's a lot more people here than I thought. My name is Jason Glass. I am a recent master's graduate from DePaul in user experience. For a personal project, I saw somebody online complaining about trying to use the iPass site on their mobile phone, and I took that to be a call that I should look at it and try and redesign it. And so I did redesign it, and I was coming here to talk to you guys about maybe like starting a conversation where we can incorporate some of the changes. I did bring some material of the redesign, but there's a lot of you guys, and I apologize for that.
If you want, you can just leave it with Mr. Bedloff here, and
Okay. We
will get it to the right people
Okay. And
duplicate it if necessary.
Did I pick the wrong meeting?
No.
Okay, I thought so, but okay.
We're happy to have you.
Okay, so can I just...
Is that good?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Great.
Thank you guys very much.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All righty. The next item on our agenda is approval of minutes. I believe everybody got a copy of those, and they are for the meeting of May 21st, 2015. May we have a motion to approve those?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second with a question, possibly.
Very good. It's moved and seconded. Discussion. Your question, Mr. Robinson.
I was not at the meeting. I'm not sure. In the past, I've always excluded myself from voting on minutes if I was not part of it because I didn't know what occurred, what was said, what was not said, if it's proper or not. So I'm not sure if I'm allowed to or not. That's...
You can vote on it.
I'm okay?
Yes.
Just fine? Okay. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Any other questions, discussions, changes, alterations? Hearing nothing, may we have a roll call?
Director Banks?
Aye.
Director Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Three yeas, zero nays.
Very good. The minutes of the May 21, 2015 meeting are approved. I am going to ask as a point of personal privilege if we could move around the agenda a little bit. And what I would propose to do is, under the executive director's portion of the agenda, go to the presentation on Elgin O'Hara Western Access business rules. And then after that, we have really three items that we need to address today. And I would address those three items, and then after unfinished business and new business, if no one has any objection, then we could come back and do customer service and planning committee work plan and excess right-of-way and annexation policy. And the reason for this is I may have to leave, so, and there's not going to be any action taken on those last two items. So is there any objection to changing around the schedule that way?
No.
Hearing nothing, then let's proceed down to the Elgin O'Hara Western Access Business Rules presentation, and you are going to start that right?
Myself and Sean will go through this, and then we'll be brief on this. So really, the Elgin O'Hara Western Access project is unique in many ways for this agency. It's the first all-electronic toll road that we're building. We're incorporating an entirely new tolling method on the project. We're opening up this road in distinct phases. So we wanted to make sure that, all along we've been getting a lot of input. We want to get your input as we talk really about the business rules. Today Sean is going to really address the business rules, but kind of maybe to step back to make sure you all have an education of what we've done to date so far regarding the project. So as I said, there's many challenges associated with this corridor overall. It's a very close spacing on interchanges. Each one of these dots is an interchange. I believe there's 31 different access points along this 10-mile corridor. So you got a lot of close-space interchanges, which creates some challenges as far as tolling goes. We've already approved, this board has approved a toll rate of an average of 20 cents per mile for the entire through trip for passenger cars. I'll show you what the passenger car toll rates are in a moment. What we've also looked at is dividing this corridor into six distinct segments. You can see them by color, ranging from about 0.9 miles up to about a 3-mile section here in yellow. So it allowed us to really look at different ways to go about tolling the corridor. Again, it will be different. What we've already made the decision to do is adopting or made the recommendation to do, and you're seeing the gantries now. It's a mainline gantry system. So there are six mainline gantries across the entire corridor and one ramp toll plaza. These are the passenger car rates. Passenger car I-pass rates for the corridor. The segment, the existing El Chon Harrah for 390 will open up, will actually be complete in 2015. Tolling will start sometime in summer of 2016. We'll continue on with the extension to about Route 83, Plessy Road, which will be done by the end of 2017, at which time tolling will be starting in about 2018 timeframe. So this is a closed toll collection system, so that basically means that everybody who drives on the road will be paying a toll. Anybody who drives on the main line will be paying a toll as they use the road. And the average toll rate, like I said, for the entire stretch, for the through trip, is about 20 cents per mile, so it's $1.90 for a passenger car. As I said before, it's our first all-electronic system. A lot of decisions that we've made to date that I just presented to you, I don't want to go back into all the history, but it was really made with a lot of input from our committees, input from the mayor's group that Director Mayor Johnson sits on with the Elgin O'Hara mayors. We also deal with the Elgin O'Hara Western Access Local Advisory Committee. It's a committee of all the communities and local governments along the course. They provided some input on the way we approach the overall tolling. The big goals that they want us to look at is to make sure it's an equitable tolling system. And with the mainline tolling approach that we've come up with, we feel that is the most equitable. So the amount of toll you paid is generally aligned with how much of the road you use. If you're on the road for just 2 to 4 miles, you're paying that rate for 2 to 4 miles. Or as opposed to paying comparable I-35 on Army Trail Road, you go through the mainline toll plaza, and you've paid for your entire trip all the way down to Ogden Avenue. So this really allows us to have more toll points, but a little bit more equitable. So it encourages both the short distance trip and the long distance trip. And it really does provide more congestion relief on the secondary roadways. As I said, the tolling itself is the road construction on the existing 390. We anticipate that to be complete. Three lanes open on the existing 390 by the end of 2016. And then tolling will start in summer of 2016. We want to make sure there's a smooth transition between the tollway from IDOT to the tollway, and we'll start our tolls in summer 2016. We're really looking at the maintenance schedules. The IDOT fiscal year ends at the end of June, so we assume that's the best time to take it over for the transition. And then we'll continue to work on the, as I said, to the east. We'll have that complete by the end of 2017, at which point in time we'll be starting the toll on the extension by the end of 2017. We're still working on some of the details along the western bypass portion of the corridor, but the initial roadway, when it opens up, the toll will start. So really what we want to talk about today, and Sean is going to cover this, is the business rules for the corridor. This will probably be some of the meat of the discussion.
The business rules would mean how we're going to make sure we collect the tolls and how we recover revenue for anybody who misses the tolls. So I'm pleased to be here today because this is definitely my type of topic. On this part of roadway, even though it is constructed in a slightly different way with gantries every, mile to 2 miles, we will still be taking I-pass rates at 50% of the cash rate for cars and an anticipated 33% for trucks. The other customers will have a few options to pay. They will continue to have the 7 days to pay. You see those 7 days to pay signs all over our roadway. That will exist there too. When we first open even the first three plazas of that roadway, we will be offering 30 days for that first month to give everybody a chance to get used to it. We did the same thing for 294-57, which was our first all-electronic interchange. We also anticipate having a new option to pay when come this 2016 summer, which is the capacity to actually search your license plate to see if there's outstanding debt and to go ahead and pay that before it becomes a notice. You can do something similar to this in the city of Chicago with parking. I don't know if anyone's been unlucky enough to have a parking ticket, but I have.
Can I?
Yes.
Go ahead. Thank you for bringing this up. I was just talking to Chairman Banks, or Director, I'm sorry, Banks about this. So you have available, because right now they can't look up by license plate, am I correct?
Correct. Our current system has...
Would this be something we do just at this location, or would this be done system-wide?
It'll be system-wide.
Thank you. That's the one thing. I actually, I was talking to Director Banks about this. There's some people bringing up to me the frustration is when people come from out of state.
They want to know what they miss.
Well, and they go, then they ask them, like, well, what toll? They go, I don't know what toll plaza. And Director Banks, I was like, I don't know what toll plaza I go through sometimes either. And they get very frustrated. So from now on, when at the future, do we know when that's going to start, that option?
We anticipate the summer of 2016. We're starting to test it in the next month or so.
Okay, so then anywhere in our toy system in the future, then at that point, if it works, anyone that wants to go on there, someone from out of state or whatever,
yes,
can go. They'll say, input your license plate.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're very excited about it. It'll be the first time in the tolling industry it's offered.
And because I've heard, I was talking to Director Banks just a few minutes ago, I said, you know, it's funny when you get a director, everyone knows that one, being the mayor, they know me now as a director. They go, the only complaint we have is my uncle came from Florida. He tried to pay, but he went out and he got so frustrated, he said, forget it. Next thing you know, he gets a bill. He said, if they know my license plate, why can't I know it? So that's happening then.
Yes, it is. And in conjunction with that, too, your earlier point about web design, we're working very hard to improve our web access, too, so that there's better self-service capability. So it should all coincide nicely with the opening of the Elgin O'Hare.
Thank you. Really nice one. Thank you very much.
I'm so pleased that there's good feedback on that. I'm very excited about it.
That was the next bullet point.
Yeah, just you wait. So the next item is the item that we will have here for formal consideration today, because it will represent an actual change that we have to make to the JCAR rules, the Joint Administrative Committee for Rules of Regulation rules. And this is around fines. So when somebody doesn't pay, when they don't have an iPass, when they don't do these other things we just talked about, they will receive a violation notice. And today our violation notices are represent a $20 fine for each missed transaction, and then if you still don't pay 60 days later, you get another $50 tacked on per transaction. It's pretty hefty. It really does push a lot of people to pay in a way that I know some other toll roads have struggled with when they have much lower fines. But this toll road is different. This segment, this Elgin O'Hare segment, has such rapid plazas that if you miss one, you miss a bunch in a single trip. And even if you drive one way and then back, by the end of 2017, you know, that's 12 missed tolls. So if you do that at $20 a person, it's going to get pretty hard. So we've done some analysis, and we are proposing $10 per missed transaction and then a $25 escalation. And we believe that this represents kind of a better good faith to our customers who travel that roadway, even the ones who are not paying. And we also believe that it's sustainable from an operational perspective. So when it does come time to go through our actual board items for approval, this will be part of what we approve, is the $10 and the $25, because
so
we will have to get your approval.
So the $10 kicks in after 7 days?
Right. We do not start processing any sort of violation until after the 7 days.
And what's our rule? Is it the mailbox rule, where if you put your check in the mail within the 7 days, you make it? Do you have to receive it? How does that work?
We have a little bit of give on the back end for people who are using the postal system. That represents a very small percentage of
our
grace period tolls, but yes. But we do understand that the mail delay can be a problem. So beyond the 7 days, we have a little bit of wiggle room.
So you go by postmark date on the, is that what you, I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So as long as they mail within 7 days postmark, mm-hmm, it takes you 2 weeks to get it for whatever reason,
right,
snail mail, you're still counted.
Yes, and sometimes what happens with that postmark date is even if the system doesn't match it within that time, if somebody calls and says, but I paid, we'll find it for them and match it manually and eliminate their violation. Most people pay online and it mostly matches up, but we understand that there are other scenarios like that. So we do our best to help people make the most of their grace period tolls.
Okay, any other questions?
All right.
The only other thing I would say is, this, I was just pausing to see if there's anything else about the $10 and $25, is that this segment of the roadway, we will be issuing violations for it separate from violations from other parts of our system, because we think it would be pretty confusing to customers to to get a violation notice, and the fines would look different depending on where they were. So they will be getting separate violation notices. One of the benefits of having this as kind of its own violation segment in our system is that we will be able, on this road, we think, to pilot various things over time. We'll be able to see what it might be to try some incentives for transponder usage to our iPass customers if they're trying to video toll, but we really want them to use transponders because that is the best way for us to collect a toll. We think that this would be a great place to try, you know, smartphone apps for rental car organizations, and even just things like trying out new signage, stuff like that. So it's not that that necessarily bears a lot of discussion at this point, but it is interesting because this roadway does represent a brand new opportunity for us in a few different ways.
Can I
go
ahead? Go back to that again.
Yeah.
Again, people talking. It's amazing to me how many people don't realize, because I think you explained one time that if a person has a transponder and their license plate's in the system, it's amazing how many people think if they just have one transponder and they have four cars, as long as the license plates are all four cars in the system, they think they don't need a transponder because they check online and they see that you're charging them the toll. They're not getting tickets.
Right.
But you explained one time to us that it costs us, I'm not sure how many times more, to actually have someone manually go in there, check the license plate, and then sign off okay. Am I correct on
yes.
that?
Yes.
Two things, questions. One, how much do we charge now to a transponder when they come in again? Is it $10 now?
It's a $10 deposit, and you get it back when you return
okay.
the transponder.
First question is, I'm in business. If you want someone to use your product, you want to make it as inexpensive as possible. Because right now when I tell people, well, wait a minute, that's costing us more money to do this because they have to mentally go in and look at, well, I don't care, crap, I'm not going to spend $10 if I don't have to. It's counting against my
right.
transponder. Why? So my first thought is, can we look at, why not charge nothing for a transponder? If it encourages people to use them and we're going to save money by not having someone have to manually go in there, we should make it as easy as possible,
sure.
as cheap as possible for one of our customers to use the product. Second question is, I don't think a lot of people realize that they should have a transponder per car. It's costing us more money, hence down the road costs them more money because we have to cover our expenses. If they all had a transponder, because a lot of people think, well, I don't need a transponder. It's counting, Craig. It's counting. I don't need a transponder. No, no, it's costing us more. So if we encourage them all to have a transponder, we would, at the end, I would think, save money, hence better for us down the road. I'm not sure if you've looked at it before, you may have. I'm new, so I'm just throwing it out there.
So on that second point about the every car needs a transponder, that is the most effective way for us to collect a toll. And we would like to try different incentive programs, but we do think we need to pilot it because human behavior can be difficult to predict in different tolling situations. To the first point, we could talk a little bit more, and we could bring you some analysis of the $0 charge per transponder. We have considered this, and that was, I think, about this time last year, we brought the deposit down for a lot of accounts from $20 to $10, and we did that, to your point, to encourage more transponder usage. But we are walking, we think, a fine line between people throwing away their transponders when they really need to be recycled, people ordering way more than they need, and just ditching them.
Well, let me ask you, when you went from 20 to 10, did you see an influx of people getting transponders?
Yes.
You got to weigh the cost.
Right.
I mean,
we should revisit the analysis. It's been about a year.
We just want to encourage people. The thing is, if you encourage people to get them, it saves us money, and maybe encourage them to use it, because let's be honest, the transponder is the greatest thing when you look business-wise. When you had to actually put money in the machine, you kept track more. Now, you get a bill on your Visa every so often.
I can see that our CFO, Mr. Kelch, is worried about the let's give away at the transponder. But understood.
I think we were at 40 originally.
Yeah, I remember it was 40.
That was the auto-replenishment. That's the amount that, and you're right, at the same time that we lowered the deposit for the transponders, we lowered the amount you needed to put in your account to start it off. So we had 40 and now it's 20.
Well, one time the transponder was a $40 fee, I thought you held.
It's $20.
I'm getting vigorous nods. Yes.
Yeah, it was 40, because I remember when I first started, it was $40, and now it's down to 10. But way back when, it was originally, that's what I thought. I'm just thinking business-wise. As a business person, the more you get people to do it, and the more savings we have by less people having to look up license plate on the one where people, because people think that. And it's not them being bad. They just think, well, if I got a transponder and I give all my license plate, it counts. They don't realize it costs us that much more money to check the license plate and count off, yes, you are not being ticketed, but it costs us a lot more money.
Agreed.
How would they save us?
Right. Agreed. If there is one thing I've learned since joining the tolling world, it is that it is a constant calibration, electronic tolling. We're constantly learning more about human behavior and more about the things that we can do. We're constantly finding new innovations in technology, but also just in operations. So any idea like that you should bring to us, we should reanalyze what you've pointed out. And
I could be wrong.
It is a journey.
Okay.
I would conclude by saying it is a journey to the point about piloting. And then this is a little bit about the extensive community outreach. When we open new plazas, especially all electronic and in a new tolling scenario, we need a lot of community outreach. Rocco, do you want to speak quickly to just
sure.
the general
plan? Kind of exactly what you're saying, you know, this continuous evaluation. But what we do plan, what actually starting tonight with some of the business rules, we're meeting with the local advisory committee to start informing the local communities about the business rules that we have. To get some additional feedback, you know, this is what we're proposing and suggesting to you. We want to continue to get feedback from the different stakeholders. We'll be talking to the mayors, I believe, sometime in the next few weeks as well. We'll be talking to the trucking industry, too, about some of the tolls and the discounts and the incentives to get some additional feedback. So what we've done before, and I think these are lessons learned from the 294-57 interchange project, where we did conduction focus groups to learn a little bit more about tolling, the approach of tolling, what's the hesitancy to get an I-pass. What we've done there is, you know, do drop-in centers, basically let people know, hey, here's when it's going to open, here's how you get an I-pass, things like that. We do print and electronic notifications that go out to mass mailing. We've got a lot of roadside signs that are out there, that will be out there, our digital signs. We'll have some static signs as well. What we did, we haven't decided this yet, is we did this for the 294-57 project to some moderate success, was the we opened up a temporary customer service center at the driver's license facility in Midlothian.
Yep.
So if there's an opportunity to do something like this, again, local, to kind of push people to an I-pass, we've done some outreach, again, already in some surveys about who has an I-pass. About 90% of the people already have an I-pass. So that's our plan moving forward. But we'll be back at the, you know, at the end of the year to wrap all this stuff up. But the JCAR business rules, that's the most important thing right now. We need to get that process going, to get it approved by the governor's office, and then ultimately the JCAR for spring approval.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll proceed then to under business systems, number one, award of contract 14-0107R. To Road Ranger LLC for the purchase of Rockford Metro Retail Area I-Pass transponders. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved to second. Is there any discussions or any questions? Hearing nothing, can we have a roll call?
Director Johnson?
Aye.
Director Banks?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
We have 3 yeas and 0 nays.
All righty. Contract 14-0107R to Road Ranger LLC is approved. We will now proceed to renewal of contract 11-02002 ADS McKinley Community Service for the purchase of transponder fulfillment services in an amount not to exceed $2,630,000. May we have a motion on that?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing nothing, may we also have a roll call, please.
Director Banks?
Aye.
Director Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
We have 3 yeas and 0 nays.
Very well. Then contract 11-0200 to ADS McKinley Community Services is approved. We will now proceed to approval of our Elgin O'Hare Western Access Business Rules. As was stated before, these will then come to the board as a whole and then go to JCAR. So may we have a motion to approve the business rules as presented?
Motion approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Are there any questions? Discussion? All right. May we have a roll call on that?
Director Banks?
Aye.
Director Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
We have 3 yeas and 0 nays.
All right. The rules are approved as presented. As previously agreed, we will proceed to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before us? Hearing nothing, we will now go to new business. Is there any new business to come before us?
I'm not sure if this is appropriate to bring up here or the committee whole, or the whole board.
Okay.
It'd be quick. I first brought up an idea, more than once brought up an idea. We have different rates, and you talked, that's why I'm thinking of it today. We have different rates, like 20 cents a mile, now with New Algernon here. Other ones, we charge different rates per mile. Has it been analyzed? Maybe it has. You can inform us. The example they gave me, which made a lot of sense, they go, Mayor, in your town, you pay a hookup fee for water. Right, and you pay the current hookup fee, I understand. But everyone pays the same water rate per 1,000 gallons, whether you've been on the system for 20 years or you're a new customer. Why are we charging more per mile on new roads than we do on old roads? Or are we going to discourage people from using the new roads and not encourage them? So the thought was, wouldn't you just charge the same rate per mile on every road to absorb the cost? Now, that's something you may have analyzed in the past. I mean, I've been here for, but it made some sense. It may not when I see the data, if you've already looked at that. Is this something that the committee looks at, or the poll, or something of that nature?
You know, I don't know that answer, but that might be a, something that might be good to have a presentation on the board and sort of give a history on that.
Be happy to do that for you, Mr. Chairman and Director Johnson. I will assure you that I too am new, but I am here every day, and it is something that we discuss on a regular basis. We have all of the information.